nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here?
Nothing to see, nothing to see, nothing to see, nothing to see.
You are listening to Nothing to See Here. Experimental radio from NASCAD University. This episode is entitled, It's Up to You. And a warning, this episode contains strong language.
Michael. Michael, Michael, Michael. Gee, shit. Shit. Shit.
Michael. Michael, Michael,
Michael. Oh, it's 15 to 15. Fuck. Oh, I can't believe this. Gee, fuck, shit, fuck, shit, Michael, shit. Oh, I've got it here on my calendar. Jeez, oh, there, shit, there it is, fuck, gee, shit, shit, shit. Oh, jeez, Michael, I can't believe. Jesus Christ, and it was for four hours. Four hours.
What? Oh,
15.
Oh my God.
15.
Oh shit.
Fuck. Oh, I can't believe this.
I wrote the fucking thing down.
Fuck. Fuck.
Oh my God. Look.
The 15th. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Jesus. Michael. Well, I guess there's nothing I can do now. Jeez, Michael. I can't believe
Jesus Christ.
I know it's for four hours.
Listen, man.
4 hours.
If there is any way.
Oh, my God.
We could make this up. If there's.
Oh, jeez, I can't. Fuck. The fifth. I can't believe I forgot. How could I do that? Jeez.
Well, man, if I understand, but if you're willing to trust me again.
I can't believe this, Jesus Christ. Fuck.
I'm prepared.
Fuck. Listen, man.
Give me a second chance. I'm prepared to be there, okay? I'm so sorry. I absolutely forgot.
I can't believe I should.
Okay, man. We'll be in touch. I understand. It's up to you. It's entirely up to you. I'm sorry.
Do you unconsciously fear along for the day when our vital infrastructure breaks down and we really need each other? Or should we read this simulacrum of the social as an organized agony over the loss of community after the fragmentation of family, marriage, and friendship? Why do we assemble these ever-growing collections of contacts? Is it the other, relabeled as friend, nothing more than a future customer or business partner? What new forms of social imaginary exist? At what point does the administration of others mutate into something different altogether? Will friending disappear overnight like so many new media-related practices that vanished in the digital nirvana?
I got a bunch of cocaine.
And I was talking with my friend over the weekend, actually, about, like digital witches and like witching communities, and like thinking about that online and these communities that can exist without, like, outside of their more like traditional like families, and can be really like positive spaces for people that are like really vital to their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Facebook is just a bad example of like intimate connections online,
because
it's more just like.
But I feel like almost Facebook is, like, becoming an outdated social media service.
Yeah, but at the same time, still necessary. just for like communication, and same way that email is, basically, not in like a personal way, but just more of a.
Well, it's interesting too, only because over the winter break I was talking to my cousin who's 13, and she was telling me, because her generation does not use Facebook whatsoever, and like none of them have Facebook accounts. So I think just like thinking about there being like a like considering the way that like we as like young adults, as YAs, use Facebook compared to like our parents' generation, like I think that's an interesting gap too. And so like thinking about a new generation who like doesn't use Facebook and like how people are using Instagram, so like it's a more image-based service.
I didn't realize also, like, I talked to my 16-year-old cousin over Christmas, and she was like, nobody's on Facebook anymore because all of her parents are on Facebook. And like my parents were like always like anti-Facebook, and then my mom got on there, and then she was like, I don't know, she was always checking it, and now my dad is on Facebook, and but like it just does really funny things on it.
I feel like there's like a generational delay when it comes to social media and like websites, where like you know, parents joined Facebook and then kind of people reverted more to like Instagram for communication. And now like my fun cool aunt is on Instagram. It's like, okay, when are my parents gonna get on them? Like,
yeah, kind of
lag when it's like,
I think the generational lag is really true.
And then that kind of maybe hints at like a decline in that that social media platform as like a way for youth to use it. There's just gonna be like another one that kind of sneaks in, maybe.
Michael. Shit. Michael. Oh, it's 15, the 15. Michael. Fuck. Oh, I can't believe this.
Michael.
Yeah, it's like curation of your whole world. Like, you're always curating. It's interesting because the internet, like, I always compare it with the internet, and like, I don't know, like, I started using it in like 2002, I guess. I was 12. And, like, it was so different then, because it was just there and you had to like access these sites, and then like that information was there. There was no way to like curate it or change it. You just had to like choose to either be on that website or not, or choose to like go on a chat room. But everything was a lot smaller, like small communities that you'd access. So, you didn't have this ability to like hide content that you didn't like. You just had to like not be part of that community or not go on that website if you didn't like it. I think the internet and social media, it's like a completely different world now. I know, like, my experience of Twitter is very different than 5 years ago. 5 years ago it was like fun, and now it's not fun anymore. Like, I've had to like take moments where I'm like, I don't even like being like, why do I contribute to this website when like I go on and I get depressed, because it's just like they've just changed the algorithms to give me news, like, you know. So whereas before I've like made friends internationally through Twitter. I've like stayed with, I made friends who live in Manchester, and like I stayed with them last spring. But I met them on Twitter. Like, like, that's bizarre to me.
But you met them years ago?
Yeah, I've known them. I've had Twitter for since 2009, I think. And, like, I met them through there just because we're, like, part of, like, a kind of cartooning community. And, like, it was just, like, it was people that I knew. And then, like, we had a positive relationship. And people I know had met them at, like, comic cons and stuff. So it was just, like, I knew that they were real people. And then eventually there was just, like, trust there.
I also feel like each of your social media
accounts have like a different personality to it.
Totally.
Because like my friends say that like my Instagram is more professional, my Snapchat's more like me, and my Facebook is like I'm pretending to be professional because like businesses and companies like look for your Facebook to see if you're professional.
Yeah.
And then on Snapchat, like you don't put that stuff on Facebook or Instagram.
It's interesting how some social media platforms, like, they're designed to be social in different ways. Like, Twitter, I swear, is just, like, so you get your thought out there. Like, it's purely based on statuses for, like how Facebook has statuses and photos and all
and,
that.
Like,
and Instagram.
Yeah.
And now all these platforms like Snapchat and Instagram are purely for photo sharing. So like it's weird how that shift in like word information, and now everything is becoming like all like photo intake, and then they like have added videos now and live streams. Like it's becoming more and more exactly,
it's got more of like a personality or something.
Yeah, more of a personality and more of like an actual like, like, there's less of a thing to hide behind. Like, remember when Anonymous was, like being Anonymous?
It's like, Formspring?
Yeah, like, that was, like, the thing. Like, social media was all about being anonymous. Like, your parents wouldn't even let you post a photo on Facebook.
Yeah.
Now there's websites that are, like, literally just for your photos. Like, you don't need to even write anything anymore.
Okay, I want to talk to you about this thing. This woman, Rachel Dagershaw? Not sure of her name. Dagershaw? Saul? Anyway, she came up, her story was in the midst of the primaries with Hillary and Donald Trump. It was found out that she is actually a white person pretending to be black, and was found out when a reporter met her parents, and her parents disowned her and made this announcement, "No, that's my daughter, and we have no black blood in us." And she just has been pretending all this time. And she, as an account of that hit the press, the woman lost her job. She has been unemployed since. This is pretty much into almost a year now. And she has two kids, two sons by two different fathers, two black fathers apparently. One is like 15, the other one is 17, something like that. So she's bringing up, you know, an individual, bringing up these two kids alone. Nobody wants to touch her. Apparently, she did an incredible job working for the NACC when she was around age 5. She came to this understanding that her parents were really not her parents, and she felt that she was oppressed by her biological parents, and she went and sought out new parents and new mentors and new models, and always from then on sought the black community as where she belonged. She did apparently, her work was spotless. All her employment during this commitment to improving conditions and work for black people in the state there. This woman put a lot of energy and was very successful. A lot of people have, you know, benefited from her and her position. I think when she was fired, when she was let go, it was because of the fact that she had misled them. It's interesting that this sort of dovetails with a lot of interesting things that are going on, I find, in at NASCAR at the moment. I watched a student from Foundation who asked me, and I'm not giving you the right name, but this is a true story. He told me to call him Alex, and 2 years I run into him again, but this time in my class, he said, I would prefer if you call me Alexandra. So there is this transition that he was transitioning, and I thought it was interesting where I'm up for who you want to be, who you want to be called. And in this case, back to Rachel, she was never given that opportunity. She assumed the position, did her job, but when they found out that she wasn't, for only those reasons, she was let go. And since then, nobody wants to touch her. I am also finding out things about my life that influences what I do. And I think it's at the core of something that we are about as artists and as teachers and as leaders. So here I go. That's it.
How can we understand the social turn in new media beyond good and evil as something that is both cold and intimate? Mm-hmm. But I guess what this kind of relates to what you said about like certain communities like finding uplifting like families or communities. But it says, roaming around in virtual global networks, we believe that we are less and less committed to our roles in traditional community formations such as the family, church, and neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Historical subjects once defined as citizens or members of a class possessing certain rights have been transformed into subjects with agency, dynamic actors called users, customers who complain, and prosumers. I don't know, I remember being in like elementary school, so it was like grade 2 or something. That's when we started taking like typing classes on giant computers.
Oh my god, I remember that. Yeah. I was really good at those. So funny. I was so bad.
But yeah, it's like there wasn't like thinking about children knowing what like Facebook is when they're like little or being like very, very young. Like my partner's child is like almost 3 and like I will Skype her. And it's like she remembers me, but it's like, how does she understand? Like, does she understand that I am like somewhere else?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And talking to her and like how like the I just wonder how it affects like a child development and how like being having like I don't know, I found it like to be a very like anxiety inducing thing like in junior high and stuff, like, and it wasn't even really Facebook then, it was other forms of like
thinking about like children's TV shows and how little technology plays into them. Like, you don't, if you're watching like an animated cartoon that's aimed for like 3-year-olds, they never like walk, like their mom doesn't have an iPad, like, or like no one's talking on cell phones.
They're just nature interesting. Or something. They're like animals. Yeah. Like,
yeah, they're all animals.
Yeah. And I mean, things like happen like within a year, within like 6 months.
Totally.
So.
I could be in contact with so many people that I would never talk to. And I would never, like, go out and find their phone number and call them or, like, show up at their house or, like, send them a letter or something like that. But then I see them, their name on Facebook, and I'm like, oh, I should add that person. I should be in contact with that person. Yeah. And then I have nothing in common with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, you know, but I still want to be connected to, like, my childhood friend just because I have fond memories of them. Like,
yeah,
I find that to be really interesting.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Like, I've thought of that many times. It's like, if you're walking, I don't know, just down the street or something, and you see someone that you know through social media across the street, or you're going to walk right by them, but you choose not to say anything to them because you don't know them. You only know them through social media. And that's like really interesting.
Like, another thing that connects to that is like blocking, because you can block someone on Facebook. Like recently I blocked my ex on Facebook, and then I saw him at a concert, and online it's like you're never gonna talk or see or have any feedback or like news feed from that person, but it's like you can't block them in real life. Like, they're gonna be there, and it kind of like startles you because social media took over that you can just block this person.
Yeah, you can, like, curate your online life way more, and you can control your online life way more than you can control your real life.
Yeah.
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 So, I think that's interesting that, like, we feel this necessity to always be reminding people that we're there. But then there's also people who don't do that on social media, and they read everything and never interact, and then they'll bring something up, which drives me nuts. They'll be like, oh, I saw that you did this on, and I was like, you, like, I didn't even know you were there, like, never talked to me on Facebook, like, you added me or whatever, and, like, you never like anything, like, I assume you don't see my stuff, and then you, like, tell me you saw something, and it's like, now suddenly that other presence is there, and, like, that, so that's a really, like, that's probably just something that's been bothering me lately, though.
Yes.
It's just a gripe.
And also a thing about, like, who you are is, like, and a thing about isolation is, like, personally, like, I feel isolated from, like, other people in real life. But, like, on social media, I'm not as shy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm holding myself back in real life where I can put anything I want, like, on social media that I choose to, because there's that, like, screen there.
No, but it literally is. Like,
it's just like it's interesting to be someone else, and then people read you like that, and then you show up and you're you, and they're like, oh, you're not like your social media, and you're like, you thought I was like my social media? What the hell?
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's not me at all.
But also, don't you think that, like...
And she stands so endearing. I mean, she's so, as an individual... with a purpose, so purposefully positioned, knowing herself and willing to take what comes with it, you know, what comes with that repercussion, you know, like, and this is the dilemma. I mean, she's looking for work, nobody will touch her for this very reason, that she decides to be something only interests to her, and it should be her, in, you know, her call. There is this thing where I was speaking to this person describes themselves as a feminist. So I'm speaking to this woman who tells me there are certain people, a lot of these people are celebrities, and she has these names, that she would never support or pay money to go see them. So she would not go see a Woody Allen movie, ever, that's it. So I'm talking to her and I said, okay, my grandson, he is 4 years old, turning five. I'm with him in the summer, and he's rocking away with headphones. His name is Kieran. I said, Kieran, who are you listening to? He hands me the headphone. I listen, it's James Brown. So I think immediately to my son, who is his father, And there's no James Brown in my son's life. I know that. I know my son to that degree. He doesn't have a rhythmic bone in him. So I asked him, I said, Ken, where the hell did you get this from? I got it on YouTube, he tells me. This is 4 years old. He found James Brown on YouTube. So this woman that I'm having a conversation with, she said, you know, Michael, are you going to tell him about James Brown? So I said, tell him what? How great a musician he is? No. You tell him what a terrible person he was? I said, no. This kid is coming to him from the music. To me, that's what James Brown is about. You ever listen to James Brown? You ever listen to Miles Davis? Are they talking about beating up people or being hard on their wives? I don't get that in the music. It's about something else. And do I have room for that? I mean, I do. If he asked me, I mean, but this person is telling me, well, I think it's your responsibility. You should tell him that this music, so I said to the point that he shouldn't listen to this music. Right. I said, I think you're missing something very big here. I mean, I'm not supporting a lot of these people, their private lives or whatever they do. That's their business. It's so dismissal of what one's contribution in this life can be. And you know, for a musician who, you know, we are better off with his music.
I don't know. People post like very personal things yes. online all the time. Like people like, I don't know, like sensual memes or like funny memes or like whatever, who are like normalizing mental health.
Yeah.
And like that being a big thing that's happening right now.
I feel like there's also just kind of a divide between like what you say online and maybe interactions with people in real life, even if like, say you have a friend and like you follow each other on Twitter and you just like overshare all the time, you might not bring that up in real life. It's more just kind of like, so anyways, what's new with you? Like ignoring that kind of virtual side or that kind of virtual identity.
But that's the scariest thing about social media too. You can hold on to moments for longer in a weird sense. Mm-hmm. Like you can take a video and then it will pop up on your memories the next year, and then you'll be looking at it through a different lens because you're a new person, but still you're holding on to that moment that you probably wouldn't have remembered before, and it's just like
you're
weird.
You're probably questioning the truth.
But I think that like that goes into like everyone understands that social media is like the things you present on social media are like whatever, a front. Like it's not like actually who you are. Mm-hmm. But I also think that like images like still like have a massive impact, like a massive like weight, like they like are able to like change and like shift things. Mm-hmm. Like whatever, the little boy on the Syrian beach, like no one would have cared about the Syrian refugees if that photo was never taken.
Yeah.
And like the photos of the protests, like the women's march and the even the like pipeline, mm-hmm. like the like videos and like media like photos and stuff, like that would never have
like that's someone that's still someone's social media, but it's like account.
She said from a very early age she felt this. She knew these were her biological parents, but she didn't feel that they were like the people she has met as she journeyed, you know, she continued to live. Uh-huh. They're more family, like we have that, you know, you have that, I'm sure we do. We have, it's not just the blood that binds us, it's the interests and all these other things. And some of us have more relationship, more endearing relationship with strangers than with family and friends, you know, in that way.
You have been listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental radio produced at NASCAD University. This episode was entitled It's Up to You. This episode includes contributions by Halifax artist Michael Fernandez, as well as discussions about social media by members of the Winter 2017 Media Toolbox class at NESCAD University. This includes Emma Alain, Ariel Bates, Chloe Elgie, Seamus Gallagher, Lauren Holder, Mary Labonte, ZG Lin, Blossom Mendoza, Adam Nearing, Oliver Nickel, Gabby Peltrick Skinner, Petra Seglins, and Haiyi Wang. This episode was produced by David Clark, who also did the sound design. Nothing to See Here is produced at NESCAD University in Halifax for CKDU. For more episodes, please search for Nothing to See Here Radio on SoundCloud.com.